Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So you've talked about dealing with the doubt, obviously, in the latter part of your career, coming back from injury, but I want to take it back to high school. You were a three-star recruit coming out of DeMatha, played with Quinn Cook. Quinn, I think, was a McDonald's All-American. So how do you go from, I want to say you were like number 144 in the
45.
Country.
145. We know our numbers, bro.
Okay. 145th best player in the country going into Indiana. To now the number two overall pick in the 2013 NBA draft 3 years later?
I'm just different mentally, to be honest with you. Like, I know for a fact mentally I'm different than a lot of people. I just know that because of what I've accomplished and what I've been through. And knowing that I wasn't given the same luxuries and opportunities as everyone else did, but I still accomplished the same or greater than them. I remember coming out of high school, you know, schools were afraid to recruit me because I played the four in high school. And I was, it was so bad. Coach Jones, our coach at the time, used to tell me, when you rebound it, outlet it to the guard. I said, I'm 6'3". I'm outletting it to another dude who's 6'3". but it was a real thing. So a lot of teams were afraid to, you know, they would knock on the door, but nobody would ever offer me. I remember sitting with Buzz Williams, I think that's his name, he was in Marquette. I sat with him for 2.5 hours, talking to him, and he never offered me. I remember I had an offer from Gary Williams at University of Maryland. Everybody thought I was going to Maryland, too, early on in my high school career. And then, you know, Maryland took the offer away going into my senior year. So the winter of my senior year, I didn't have any college offers. And then I remember we played in a Christmas tournament and Coach Crean came and he was with Indiana at the time. Indiana had won 5 games the year before. Coach Crean offered me after one game. I went on my visit in like spring. I was like, I'm committed, I'm not going nowhere else. You know, that summer you play AAU 17 and under.
Mm-hmm.
After I committed to IU, it was like little schools, Notre Dame knocked on the door, Florida knocked on the door. I was like, I'm not decommitting. I'm going to IU. And what was crazy, when I first got to IU, we was terrible. We won like 10 games my first year. We didn't even make it to the NIT. And then we got Cody Zeller, we got a center, and then we beat, you know, Kentucky at the buzzer. But going into my junior year, I wasn't on any draft boards. None, not even second round, nothing. Nobody even was thinking about me at the time. But I remember when I first got on campus, one of my good friends, he's an agent right now, his name's David Spahn. Like one of my close friends. And I was, my first day on campus, I went to the gym, I worked out. He walked in. This is my first interaction with anybody at the university. So he's like the first person I'm speaking to that I'm like, all right, I'm having an in-depth conversation with. He's like, where's Coach Crean? I said, I don't know where he at. He was like, I'm trying to, you know, come in and be an intern or whatever the case may be. So he was like, you Victor Oladipo, right? I said, yeah, I'm him. And he was like, not like that, but he was like, oh, cool. How you feel about everything? What you think is going to be like? I said, man, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to be here 3 years and I'm gone. He said, gone where? I said, I'm going to the league. He said, you got a lot of work to do. I said, that's okay. I don't shy away from work. I remember the next day we had our first practice. I got destroyed. Whoo, I got killed. Like, I'm talking about crucified out there. I remember sitting on the sideline, damn near in tears. And one of our player development guys, Seth Cooper, he with the Warriors now, came up to me. Said, man, what's wrong with you? Pulled me up. I said, man, I got a long way to go. And I remember my sophomore year. After my sophomore year, we went to the Sweet 16. It's the best Indiana had done in probably like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting down in the locker room after we lost to Kentucky in the Sweet 16 and telling myself, this is my last year in college coming up. No one else thought that. Mm-hmm. I was the only, I guarantee you, I was the only, I could bet $1 million, I was the only human being on earth that thought that. I was like, I will not be back. This will be my senior year coming up. So after that season was over, I didn't go back to school, worked on my degree, stayed all summer. I didn't go home. My mom was really upset at me that summer. She asked me why. I remember she'd be like, are you gonna come home? I'm like, I can't right now. I can't, I'm sorry. And I remember that summer, one of the best shooters in the country, his name's Jordan Halls. He's actually a coach for Indy right now. He was like third best shooting percentage in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing in the college was, can he shoot, can he shoot, can he shoot? I did shooting games literally from the start of the summer to the end, literally like 2 months straight. We was doing shooting competitions. I was getting destroyed. I probably won twice also. But I came back with I shot like 50% almost damn near that year. And when guys had to respect that, going past them, and that it's over with after that. And you know what's crazy is going into my junior year, I distinguishly remember like my first couple games, I was terrible, Gil. Terrible. I played bad. And it was because I was trying to show everybody what I was working on.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down and watching film like, bro, just blow their doors off.
You're in there forcing.
You forcing stuff. You try to show people. Just blow their doors off, bro.
All this in me now.
Just blow their doors off. And then it just clicked when we played North Carolina Big Ten ACC Challenge. And I had 25 that game. And my mama was in the stands. And she'll tell you today, she was like, that's when I knew you just changed. In the game I started controlling. That's when I felt like I was controlling the game with my mind. Defensively, offense, just controlling it, like making reads before anyone else saw the read. Like, and then next thing you know, boom. Going from not even talked about, not even thought about, to be the only one on the earth thinking that I could do it, to actually doing it. Actually doing better than really. To be honest with you. So that's why I feel like right now it's like I'm in a position where what I say and what I do sounds bizarre. You've been hurt twice. Mm-hmm. You've been on 5 different teams. You so-called fumbled a bag. We'll get to that conversation later. You had one great year. Now you're telling everybody.
One great year.
Well, two, my bad.
Two and a half.
Don't discredit yourself.
Yeah.
2 great years. Think about it. But two great years. And now you're telling everybody you think you're still one of the best players in the world. People think I'm drunk at the bar.
But that's besides okay. Defend this, we gotta guard it. You gotta remember people who gotta guard it. Like, hey, that's why I was like, when I used to hear people talk, I was like, well, tell a player to back that up. All right? Tell a player to back that up. I'm not a top 5. I guarantee you won't find one. But you know, that's just like anything, man. You gotta, you know, when you believe in yourself, and it only takes sometimes one game. It only takes like you do something to the point where you're like, that's it. I got it. You know, like when you're doing something and somebody like, do it like this, you'd be like, I got it. I got it. Okay, I got it. And then from there, you just take off.
Yeah.
Same thing with the game, right? Mm-hmm. That game in North Carolina just like clicked. Oh, I got this. All right, yeah. I got it. Everything I did in the summer clicked.
Yeah.
And it just, it. Defense about to be on point, offense about to be on point, decision making. Same thing, you know, that happens in the NBA. All it takes is one game for your brain to say, you him.
Yeah.
Facts. And then you become him.
Facts. You know, and it's still like, you know, even within that confidence, you know, I'm still human. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember seeing something online along the lines of basically the most successful people have the most certain things in common. One, they believe in themselves no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there's always a sense of doubt. There's always a sense of, am I good enough or can I accomplish this? And then I think they call it impulse control, basically how hard you work are the three most common things with the most successful people. And it kind of sunk into my mind and it kind of related to my life because that's me to the T. Like, of course, I'm human. I have doubt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, the unknown is the biggest doubt you have. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the year is going to look like. I don't know what the year is going to be like. But, you know, to say I don't have confidence in myself and honestly, you know, the God I serve, to be real with you, like, I feel like I've accomplished a lot of things that people said I couldn't. And why would I doubt it now? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm a little older. Why? Because I was injured twice. It'll be easy to doubt it now. But you only get one career, bro. You only get one career. You only get one shot at this. And look at all these jerseys you got on this wall. I'm trying to be on this wall one day. You feel me? So, and I got, in my mind, doing it, I'm looking at it from a number standpoint. Bro, listen, you probably got like 8 years left at the most. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 if the way that sports medicine is working its way up. You got to make the most of this. So forget what everybody else is saying. Yeah, but
to be honest, how you look at it, you had one career.
Yeah.
This is starting your second career.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I feel. That's what I honestly feel like. That's yep. And I can't look at it any other way. You know what I'm saying? I won't let myself. And I just hope and pray for the best and then go out there and leave it all out there. And then everything else, you know, will take care of itself. I truly believe that. But it's just, you know, like I said from the beginning, to answer your question, I just feel like, you know, mentally I'm just different, you know, and I know how to get there mentally. That's why I've accomplished what I've accomplished. That's why everyone sees the flashes or they see what I did when I had my own team. You know what I'm saying? I can get there. Trust me. I can get that. I've been there. Now it's just a matter of making sure my mind and my body are one so I can do it again.
I heard someone say, unfortunately, he was a prisoner, came out of prison. And he's been in the pen for a long time. But he said, to be where you want to be, you have to create the man that belongs there. Mm. Right? You know, if you want to make it, you want to be an all-star, all NBA player, top five, you have to create him to get there. Right? And I was trying to figure out what that meant. And it's what does a top five player do? What does an all-star do? What is it? I have to create that person, that body, that mind, that will to make it there. Because the only way I'm going to get there is the only person that's going to get there is that person. You know what I mean? That's why only all NBA players make the all NBA. Same thing with all-stars. So, you know, right now is, you know, creating that monster to become who you want him to become. You can't say you want to be a monster and you ain't doing monster-like shit. Exactly. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
For sure.
So it's like basically create the person that you want to become. Mm-hmm. And then he will be there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What was your why? Like, why did you... What was it that was driving that agent like zero-ish, like?
So
I mean, like, it was some of the stuff I saw you do, bro, like. So what was your why? Like, what was your why? What was your reasoning for it? Why did you do what you did? Why were you playing basketball? What was your why?
So being successful, it seemed like there's only two roads, right? It's pain,
right? We do it because something happened to us and it made us really go, you know, dig down and take that road. Then there's another road, which is love. That you love it so much you just can't stop it, right? So you got these two paths, love, pain, right? So what was driving me at first is pain. Pain of the draft, pain of being benched, right? So if you watch my first 2 years, mm-hmm. I played the game angry. Like I was behind Rasheed Wallace in technicals at my second year in the league. I got through headbanging at the referee once, got kicked out. I was getting kicked out damn near every game because I was just so, like, I wanted it so much, mm-hmm. right? I won the MVP of the rookie sophomore game, most improved player, right? Got that bag, right? That fear of, you know, that fear of not, you know, daddy gonna be, you know, we're gonna be homeless, I gotta go overseas, that fear's gone, right? Okay, I got 6 years. From there is going back to my childhood, love it. And then that's what kept me in the gym, because I just loved to play the game, right? Like I didn't want to be at the club like that. If I was in the club, I'm thinking about, you sitting there watching the NBA stuff, like you sitting there, yeah, take you home after this. 48, all right, but get off me. Go to the gym. I go right to the gym. He had 48, I gotta shoot 48 worth of shots. Like, you know what I mean? So it was like being competitive, loving the process. Like, I love the process. Like, I just, like, waking up in the morning knowing I gotta run 5 miles, I loved it. We finished playing 12 pickup games and I gotta do the bleachers at a certain time and I failed, do it again, all right, right? Like it was just one of those things where I didn't know what I was doing, right? But it was working. Like, I didn't know, you know, people were like, yo, you know, you're doing too much. Like, I was, you know, this summer I got 30 days to make 100,000 shots. Like, I can't wait to do that. Like, I couldn't wait in the morning. Like, I remember when I missed those free throws against LeBron and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the interview. I'm happy as hell. I'm happy because I know tomorrow I get to come in here. Tomorrow, like, I get to, like, work on my next game. Like, I just failed. I became a hero hitting the shot to go to overtime and then let the team down. Right? And I'm in there like, yo, like, I can't. Like, I said, I'm about to take a week off. I'm going to be here tomorrow. Took 2,000 shots. The next day, 2,000 shots. And then someone asked me a question. It's like, you know, those free throws, they mess with you mentally? And like, whoa. And I didn't even think about the free. And he put doubt. Oh, I need to do something about this, right? I remember I'm talking to Drew. I'm like, who's mentally strong in this world? He was like, usually Black Ops, Navy SEALs. Find me a Black Ops guy, right? It was like, what? Find me a Black Ops guy. I don't want to think about those free throws no more. I need to really mentally check in. Like, I really need to, what is Kobe over there doing, right? And it was like Kobe was working out this Black Ops guy named Frank out of San Francisco.
Damn.
San Francisco.
Wow.
Met with him. I remember the trainer Drew came with him, and I was like, he was like, what's the problem? I was like, there's no problem. I just don't want one. I don't want a problem. I want to be mentally strong. I missed free throws and someone made me think about them and I don't want to think about them no more. And then from there, everything became mental. Everything he did was just mental. I stayed there for a week. That's it. That's all I needed. Just a week. Just to see something different. I remember our first one was a warm up and he's like, all right, we're going to warm up. We got to go to the Blue House.
Blue House?
Yeah, it's just the Blue House. We're on the beach. Blue House. All right, cool. You know, you start running, talking. Yeah, chap, chap. Right, he started looking up, chap, chap, chap. 5 minutes go by, start chap, chap, chap. Right, you know, he's like, oh, as long as you keep looking for that Blue House, this is gonna be a long run.
What?
He said, I suggest you just look down at the sand and just keep moving. And when I tell you the Blue House, we done,
He said, "What did I tell you?"
Yeah.
Blue House.
Four hours.
What?
4 hours. That was our warm up. 4 hours in the sand, running to the Blue House. And yeah. Shit, I'm just looking down. We just talking. Just
was there a Blue House?
It was a Blue House. 4 hours later. That's what I'm saying. It was 4 hours later.
That's insane.
And I remember. He didn't know nothing about basketball, mm-hmm. right? This was just all physical, running up hills, down until you bleed. Like my trainer was throwing up blood. He says, and when you throw up blood, you keep going. All right. And then that was the first time I heard it, but I didn't know it. He's like, yo, we work out till we black out. All right, cool. I never knew what he meant until Kobe used to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I knew what, then I, blackout, like we're gonna keep working out until one of us pass out. We're not gonna stop this. We're gonna play one-on-one until one of us pass out. That's how we're gonna keep working until one of us just croaks it. And that was the mentality. So we're doing a shooting drill and he's like, how many, he said 5 spots. Because I was like, yo, I gotta get some shots up. He was like, all right, I'll rebound for you. Because I'm like, I can do all this shit all day you want and all that. That's cool. But I still need to, my brain still needs to do this. He was like, all right, how many do you usually do? I said, 100 a spot. He's like, all right, cool. He said, we're going to do 1,000 a spot. I'm like, wait, what? 1,000 a spot. All right. Shot. Right. You know, you used to the brain starts tricking off, thinking about some shit else, you know what I mean?
Like, thinking about 1,000.
He is at 1,000, right? Who to do 1,000? And all it's like 15 minutes seemed like it went by, 15, 20 minutes went by. And he was like, 10. 10? Like, oh no, I missed like 8 row after he said 10, missed 8 in a row. He was like, I'm gonna tell you one thing. We're not stopping till you get to the 1,000. So you better focus. And then I had to like try to create a method to not think about the longevity and just focus. So then it was like, all right, let me try to string some out. Fuck him. Right? Boom. That was 20 in a row. All right, missed one. I gotta beat 20 in a row. Boom. All right, that was 23. I gotta beat 23 in a row. Right? And then eventually it just, my brain started hyper thinking, mm-hmm. right? Start shooting, all right, I made it to all net. Let's just go all net, the rim, right? And I'm sitting here playing a game with my own mind. Cause first it becomes, you're not concentrating. Right? And then not concentrating went to, I got 990 shots left. Oh, hell no, give it up, right? So eventually saying, oh no, I gotta get through this. Brain starts reactivating, starts really concentrating. Now I'm making 30, 40, 50 in a row, mad that I missed the one. Because my brain tells me, damn, I need to get this over with. I need to make all 990 in a row. And then I'm just walking through these spots. So when I go back the next season, you can see the concentration in shots. You can see it, like that's where turnaround comes from. Like I didn't walk through this, I didn't walk through this once. Like after I did that with him, that's when I left. I'm good. Cause I fought with my brain shooting. You go out there and you take 1,000 shots, watch what your brain do. And then eventually it just turns over and then it just clicks. And then that confidence of just boom. Stringing them. You're gonna start shooting shit that, like, oh, let me see if I can do it sideways, throw it up. You really now testing what you can do. You start testing your ability. Like, I left there, like, I'm the best nigga on the planet. Oh, I'm not, you can't stop me. And that's how I started that season off. Like, I remember we played Cleveland. Deshaun Stevenson came. First game, horrible. I think I had like 13. And I heard him whisper, he was like, yo, I thought dude was nice. I thought dude was nice. He was like, don't worry, watch next game. 44. gave Paul Pierce all that. Take all this. Take all this. Yeah. Take all this. And then it was this thing where it was this bridge where I started off the season. I'm averaging like 36 at home, 18 on the road. And then it's like, now I got to find my road game. Right? I got to find my road game. And that's the thing. There's a road game. There's a home game. Once you start figuring it out, man, that shit's so easy.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Like, I knew when James Harden, when it became easy, like them step back, that's him playing with the game. That's him playing with the game. Like, if he wanted to just do 1-2 go by, 1-2 shot, like, he can literally average 40 because how the style he plays. But it becomes so easy to him that he has to do all this extra stuff just to make it hard. Same thing with Kobe. Oh, I need to do pump fake, double team, wait for the double team. Like, he waiting for the double team. All right, come on. Because it becomes, they got to a level where it became so easy because they broke it down. They broke it down. Like, I used to do a jumper, a layup, a free throw, right? That's when I first started. Like, I just need a jumper, one free throw, and one layup every quarter. You can do that, right?
Yeah.
That's 20 easy. That's 20 easy. If you break it down, just simple. But what happens is when we're playing a game and we start looking up and I ain't got no points and you become frantic. Once you make the layup, like, all right, you know, I made the layup, got that check. All right, got fouled, two free throws, made both of them, check. Now I need a jumper. So when that jumper space comes, you're gonna actually take it versus trying to do something else.
What if you miss the jumper?
You still got 11 more minutes to get that jumper, right? Let's say you did all the checking, right? And you didn't hit your jumper and you got 17. You failed one spot. The 17 don't matter. You didn't pass that spot. Now the next one, you have the layup, the free throw, two jumpers. Yeah, exactly. You got to make up for the last one.
So after bad games or tough games for you, what did you tell yourself to prepare yourself for the next one?
I blamed it on part of my routine. Never blame myself. Mm. Right, it's part of the routine. Like, damn, they are mashed potatoes. It was the mashed potatoes I ordered. Sweet potatoes last time.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for the most part, I understood that bad games are gonna happen. It's always the bounce back, right? So I always bounced back. So from what I learned is, at the end of the day, if you're consistent with your routines, right? If you're consistent with your routines, doing everything you need to do, right? And you're here, you drop down, you're gonna keep going. Your routine keeps you going, right? So. I have a bad game. Yeah, I had a bad game. I had a great game. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're sitting here trying to, this is the game, right? You're gonna go up a little bit, down, up. That's all you're trying to do. So you're not really dwelling on a bad game because that's part of, out of 82 games, you're gonna have that season, 3 to 5 horrible games,
mm-hmm.
right? You know what I mean? So you're going to have 3 or 4 horrible, excellent, perfect game, 3 to 5 perfect game. So you have to calculate it all. So from there, you're just playing that 80% game where you're trying to make sure 80% of the time you're on, yeah. You know, and that just comes from just your preparation, making sure you're doing the same routine all the time because, you know, we're routined, right? You know, you know, that's where, like, you know, I didn't talk on game days. Like, I'm not using my phone on game days. You know, tickets that had to be done the night before. You know what I mean? So if my father didn't do his tickets the night before and he didn't get in the game, that's your fault. That's part of your work. That ain't on me. Mm-hmm. I gave you the number. You didn't do your job. Don't blame me for that, right? Mm-hmm. But I won't know until after the game, right? So, like, I'll leave my phone. Like, when I get in my car, my phone stays home. So I'll find everything out when I get back to my home. Because at the end of the day, what is your phone going to help you during that game?
Nothing.
None. All of that. Listen, it's ruined a lot of games. It's ruined. You find out your girl done cheated on you. Boy, you over there stretching? You over there, you got Allen Iverson too, and your girl cheated, boy. That's a horrible night, bro.
Oh,
and that's what ends up happening. Like, so there's nothing on that phone, you know, that's gonna help you perform at the level you need to perform. So that was one thing that I didn't. The night before the game, I made sure I went in at 7 o'clock. Made sure, so I learned from Mullen, routine my body to wake up at that same time. So the day before the game, 7 o'clock is my work brain, right? I go in at the gym and I'm going hard starting at 7, right? So, you know, so when 7 o'clock hits, my time clock kicks. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, rough. Because that's practice time. Ooh, them was some rough games, bro. Oh, them was some rough games. I'm not even going to lie. How's your noon games, your noon one?
They cool for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
It's the time where it's laid back. We're just finishing practice. You got to remember, our body knows.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a mental time clock. So when you're trying to get us up and play at those 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock games, it ain't the same. You know what I mean?
Different.
So, you know, just more like this year, just be in tune with more of the mental part of the game. The physical part is fine. It's the mental, just staying in tune. Don't get down on yourself. Watch old highlights. Man, create a whole highlight tape of yourself. Create a highlight tape so when you click that, you watching what you do over and over. Bad game, you watching what you do. There we go. Okay, I got it. Like you're retraining your brain to always stay positive.
Right.
Never blame yourself for nothing. And damn, I'll miss 4-5 shots the end of that quarter. Hey, can y'all check the rim? I don't think that's 10 feet, man. Have them out there checking. You know how you do something dumb, check the arm. Maybe it's a little twisted. Like I'm not blaming my shot for nothing.
Right.
It's cold in here. It's cold. Tell them to turn on the air. We don't supposed to make excuses. But for your mental when it comes to sports, you don't want to blame yourself. I just had a bad game. Nah. Rim was a little twisted a little bit.
That's comedy. That's so funny.
Oh, Vic, we appreciate you pulling up.
Man, where you get these old ass shorts from? You had them since they, like, you had them for that long?
No, yeah.
This your daddy's shorts.
They make new shit. They make old new shit. You already know. They make old shit, new shit again. Vic, we appreciate you pulling up, man. Best of luck this season, man. Excited for that revenge tour. Definitely have to check it out when you come out to LA, man. So thank you so much.
Thank y'all for having me, bro. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man,
it's always love.
This has been another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back with more very soon.